So on Sunday evenings throughout the autumn, some of us met and studied a course on prophecy. And one of the evenings was devoted to two ways that we can receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of those is straight from God, and the other is called impartation, which means that somebody else with the gift prays for you to receive it. And during the part when we were looking at impartation, those of us who had a gifting were invited to the front of the church, and the rest were invited to approach anybody who had a gift that they wanted, and then that person would then pray for them to receive that gift. So Peter Smethurst here, and lots of others were at the front. I was at the front as well, and Peter saw that that nobody approached me, and so therefore he did, and he asked for the gift of prophecy. So we went and found somewhere quiet in the church to pray just for that. Now, I knew that Peter had been standing at the front of the church because he had the gift of tongues. So when we finished praying for the gift of prophecy, I spoke to Peter about tongues. Now, before I carry on, I just want to mention for a moment or two how I felt about 3 months ago about tongues. There's a lot of controversy about tongues. Some people within certain churches, they've got this idea that it's demonic. Well, I certainly didn't feel that. I was aware of some people that were within our church who spoke in tongues, and I knew that their faith was right where it should be. So I didn't feel fearful at all. The best way you could describe the way I was about tongues was I was ignorant. I'd heard some tongues. They sound different according to the individual. Each person's tongue's kind of unique to them, I guess. But, and this is my point, what was the point in speaking in tongues? Why do it? I'd been a Christian for 10 years, hopefully maturing in my faith, but ignorant about tongues. Now, I'm going to stick my neck out here, and I am going to guess there are people here today who were in the same boat as I was 3 months ago. And the aim of today is to dispel those myths and give you a thorough explanation as to what tongues is. And this is my opinion, why is it such a necessity in our faith? So there I am with Peter in the church. I've asked him about tongues, and he gives me a very good and concise explanation as to what tongues is. And I'm standing in front of Peter, and I've got a decision to make. I've prayed for him to have the gift of prophecy. Do I ask for the gift of tongues? We have already been told earlier in the evening to desire these gifts. So there's a bit of a contradiction here. I'm not exactly strongly desiring the gift. but nevertheless, I ask for Peter to impart the gift on me. Now, I have to say, he prayed for me far more vociferously than was my desire to receive it. He stood in front of me. He placed both hands on each of my shoulders. And looking back now, I would say that it was almost impossible that I was not going to receive that gift. His determination for me to have it was just amazing. However, on finishing his prayer, although I knew that I'd been touched by the Holy Spirit, I still had no concept of tongues. A couple of days later, I'd been speaking at the Alpha course, and I arrived home, and I went on my phone, and there was an email from Peter. And he'd sent me a link to a YouTube film, and it was entitled, "The Best Teaching on Tongues I Have Ever Heard." So without hesitation, I sat on my bed and I'm thinking to myself, this is going to be interesting. And sure enough, it was. And in the space of 20 minutes, I went from being ignorant about tongues to thinking that they were a necessity in our faith. And in truth, I was super excited. And I immediately realized that I was on my own. Wow, I'm going to give it a go. And then a Sunday or two later, I gave a testimony in church to the effect that I suggested that anyone in the congregation who was interested might like to use the link that Peter gave me. Now, when you've heard the best teaching on tongues, I would be stupid to stand up here and try and give you something better. So for those of you who did use the link, some of what I'm about to say you will have already heard. I don't want anybody thinking that I've passed it off as my own. They say that a good sermon has 3 points. So this is going to be exactly the same. This is a 3-point sermon. And the first point is language. So the first point is that tongues is a language. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. This was part of our reading. So verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Now let me just stop for a moment. There can be a little bit of confusion over the word Pentecost. Well, it comes from the Greek word, which is Pentecosti, so it's almost the same. Penta means five, so like a five-sided shape, a pentagon. And costi means to the power of 10. So Pentecost means 50. So 50 days after the first Sabbath, or some scholars might say 50 days after the first Passover, but you're getting the gist. So when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So this word tongues, it comes from the Greek word glossa, meaning glossary, which means language. So the first of the 3 points is tongues is a language. It is not gibberish. It is a language according to the Bible. So verses 5 and 6. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their language being spoken. So just to recap, tongues is a language, the Bible tells us. Now at this point, I want to dispel three myths about tongues. So three subheadings, if you like. The first is that when you speak in a tongue, you speak it fluently the first day. Now you may say, hang on a minute, all those people on the day of Pentecost heard their own language. And that is precisely it. They heard their own language. It didn't say that those that spoke it fluently. And that was the miracle. They yielded their tongues in obedience to the Lord. And isn't it amazing that the very first thing the Holy Spirit did when it came to this earth was to change the tongue? Now, don't be shy here. Show of hands. Does anybody here speak a second language? Yes. Did you speak it fluently on the first day? No. Did you speak it fluently? No. Of course not. Does a baby speak its native language fluently on the first day it starts to speak? Of course not. And as parents, we think it's cute, don't we? We think it's cute, the sounds and word combinations that come out. And some people, they're scared to give tongues a go. They think they're going to get it wrong. And guess what? You know, our Father in heaven loves it that we're giving it a go. He loves it that we're trying. The second myth is that it will just jump out of you. You've never spoken in tongues before, and suddenly it's all just going to come. When Peter prayed for me to have the gift of tongues, that suddenly, without me doing anything, it would all be spewing out of me. Some people pray for the gift of tongues, and if God sees fit, no, that's not how it works. God has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. You already have the gift. It's up to you whether you activate it or not. Tongues is no more going to jump out of you than a £50 note is going to jump out of your purse or wallet and go into the collection tray. And you've been given the gift of giving. The third myth is you can't control it. Some people think that you go into this sort of trance and you start speaking in tongues and that makes them afraid. They think they're going to be at the exercise class or they're going to be on a crowded train and they're going to start speaking in tongues and they can't control it. Well, you can control it. It is an act of your will. You decide if you want to speak in tongues or not, in the pure language. So those are the three myths. So back to the main point. So we've seen that tongues is a language. That's point one. Tongues is a language of the Spirit. So let's look at 1 Corinthians. This is chapter 14, verse 2. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. No one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. So someone who's speaking in a tongue is speaking to God by the Spirit. Please remember that bit, by the Spirit. Let's look at a couple of verses that will help us understand what a prayer language is, what tongues is. So we're going to look a little bit further in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So the first thing to notice in this verse is, if I speak in a tongue, it's a choice. Paul says speaking in tongues is a choice. Next, my spirit prays. That's the spirit prays for me. But my mind is unfruitful. Meaning Paul doesn't understand what he is saying, but he's doing it in obedience to God. He's doing it by faith. Let's look at the next verse. This is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, and I will sing with my understanding. So here, Paul is talking about praying in the spirit. That's in tongues. And then praying in my own language. That's prayers of your own understanding. So this is so clear. Paul is saying, if I pray in the Spirit is praying on my behalf. Now here's the point. How many of us only pray prayers of our own understanding? How many of us are having our prayers unfulfilled because we are praying only prayers of our own understanding? Is it possible that the Spirit knows far more about the situation than we do? Surely we can only get so far if we pray prayers of our own understanding. So I'm sitting on my bed. I have just finished watching the link that Peter sent me. And I've realised that I'm on my own. And I'm not going to be embarrassed. And I'm going to give tongues a go. And as the teaching says, as Paul says, we can be obedient and yield our tongue to the Spirit. So I prayed first the Lord's Prayer. And then some prayers of my own understanding, the normal sort of thing that I would say. And then I started speaking syllables that I didn't understand. Did it feel weird? Did it feel awkward? Yes, it did a little. But at the same time, it felt right. It felt like my faith was starting a new journey, even at that early stage. And I carried on doing it every day. And my tongues quickly became less awkward, not only in how I felt, but also in how it sounded. As we said earlier, I guess I was becoming more familiar with the language. In fact, speaking in tongues is part of your armour of God that Paul talks about in his letter to the Ephesians. So that well-known part of Ephesians where Paul is talking about putting on the armour of God, the breastplate, etc., etc., ends with these two verses. So this is Ephesians 6, verses 17 and 18. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So part of our armor is praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. And the penultimate book in the Bible, which is Jude, it's only one chapter, verse 20 reinforces that. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. So is it possible that we are losing some battles because we are not building ourselves up spiritually? Is it possible that we are losing some battles because we are not praying through the Spirit, but only our soulish prayers, prayers in our own understanding? So point three is, it is a pure language. Speaking in tongues is a pure language. Let's look at the first book of the Bible, Genesis. This is Genesis 11. And specifically, we're going to look at the building of the city and the Tower of Babel. So this is Genesis 11, verse 1. Now the whole world had one language, one common speech. So what language was that? Some people say it was Hebrew. But actually it was in the following chapter that God gave rise to the Jewish nation under Abraham. So I don't think it was Hebrew. I don't think it was English. Is it possible that it was a heavenly language? You know, when God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they walked and talked with God every day. Is it possible that they spoke a heavenly language? So back to the Tower of Babel. This is Genesis 11, verses 5 to 6. They were building a tower to get to heaven. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the people were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. So they were all speaking one language, and God pronounces that when speaking this language, nothing will be withheld from them. So if we go on to verses 7 and 8, come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from all over the earth and they stopped building the city. So God is concerned enough to change tack, and therefore he confuses their languages so they can't understand each other. And he scatters them. And this is the birth of all the different languages. So according to Scripture, they could have succeeded in building this tower to heaven. God said, nothing they propose to do will be withheld from them. So in essence, what God is saying is that we better take this language away from them, because in it, all things are possible. So let me ask you, is it possible that if we use this language, nothing will be withheld from us? Why? Because we are not praying soulish prayers, we are praying spiritual prayers. So we are not praying prayers for what we want to happen, we are praying spiritual prayers. And the Spirit is praying prayers for what we need. Let's look at another verse. This time it's from Zephaniah. So this is, Zephaniah is the ninth of the 12 minor prophets. And he's speaking about Jesus and he's speaking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this is Zephaniah 3, verse 9. For I will restore to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon in the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord. So Zephaniah says that when the Holy Spirit comes, I will restore to them a pure language. Notice the word restore. He doesn't say, I'll give, or I'll create. He said, I will restore. So in other words, I will give them back. He was referring to the language that the Lord took away in Genesis 11. The language where nothing would be withheld from them. It's a pure language. So two further quick points before I finish. And I'm not going to go into detail with these. The first one is that scientists have done research on the brain during the time that somebody is speaking in tongues. What they found was when people pray normally, there's a lot of activity in the frontal lobe. We are concentrating hard on getting our words right. But when we pray in tongues, the frontal lobe activity slows down remarkably. Is that because we've shut down because the Spirit is praying on our behalf? And the second point is, I've heard it said that Jesus didn't say anything about tongues. He told us to find a quiet space and pray to our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Yes, Jesus did say that, and we must do that. We must do that diligently. However, at the end of Mark's gospel, Jesus gives the disciples, this is before his ascension, he gives them the Great Commission. And part of that is, and I'm going to look at Mark 16, verse 17. So this is part of the Great Commission that Jesus gives his disciples to form the early church. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons and they will speak in new tongues. So to conclude, isn't it amazing that the very, very first thing the Holy Spirit did when it came to earth was to change the tongue, to touch the tongue. The very first thing. So for all of you here today that have not considered this gift, I would urge you to pick up your Bibles and look more into this gifting. And I would encourage you to submit your tongue to the Lord and let the Spirit pray through you and on your behalf, and you will see positive changes in your life and in the people that surround you. Honestly, you will. Amen.
Encourage him too much. Thank you ever so much, Matthew. That was fantastic. Can I invite the music group back? We're going to worship together and then have a time where we invite the Lord to minister to us. So if you're able to stand, let's stand.